And we're going into our final segment this morning on Morning Cannolis throughout the hour here. And again, continuing next time, our next broadcast on next Saturday, we're chatting about the intersection between the First Amendment, freedom of speech in America, and what goes on in our public schools in America. Teachers, students, parents, administrators. How does the First Amendment have an impact upon what goes on in those educational settings? And right before the break, I was talking about this seminal case, perhaps the most significant case in this entire area, called Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District, in which the Supreme Court said it cannot be argued that either students or teachers shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate. And about to talk about what the Supreme Court did in response to 13-year-old Mary Beth Tinker, who was attempting to exercise her First Amendment right, freedom of speech, by passing out and wearing armbands protesting the Vietnam War. We'll get to that in just a moment, but we do have a caller. We have a caller. Mark, thanks for calling in once again. Glad to have you with us this morning as we talk about the First Amendment and education in America. And Mark, you can go ahead. And Mark, if you're with us, we'd love to have your question or comment. If not, I'll just proceed with more about Tinker. All right, let me do just that then. So Tinker, a case involving this young woman, 13-year-old, who was organizing this protest inside her school.
Hello, Jim.
Yes,
hello?
Mark. Yes. Okay, go right ahead, Mark. Sure.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that there was a girl in my class that had was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
And that she was excused from class when we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and that and this is back in the 60s.
Right.
I mean, and so I remember it very well that was
right.
Yeah, perfectly acceptable for her. I mean, and the whole compulsory prayer that I see that they want to bring back into schools. A lot of conservatives, it seems, they complain about we eliminated prayer from school. Well, we certainly haven't.
Right, exactly. And you know, Mark, your point again, your personal experience is great to hear about that, because it quite literally is an implementation of this Barnett case we talked about before the break, which is saying that, you know, you can't require students to salute the flag and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. You saw it in real life, and that's certainly good to know. Your greater concern is, frankly, the reason why we're taking this up as a topic, not only because of your experiences, Mark, and that I suspect of many other listeners. Listeners out there, we're talking about the implications of First Amendment in 2022 as well. These cases still have vitality. 1943, 1962, 1963, 68, 69. It is still the law of the land. And so when, as Mark just indicated, there are renewed interests in perhaps mandating prayer, mandating Bible reading, other types of religious texts, revisiting some of these issues, it's important for us to know what the Supreme Court has said, what the law is today, and absent some change in that law, what the requirements of the Supreme Court mandates are today. And so, Mark, we appreciate that comment. As always, we're chatting about Tinker, which, if you remember nothing else from today's broadcast, it is the case that establishes this fundamental notion that when you come into a school, a public school in particular, you do not shed your freedoms of speech. And indeed, the Supreme Court said that Mary Beth Tinker was right, and that the school administrators were wrong when they tried to ban her from distributing and wearing these armbands as a protest to the Vietnam War. And they talked about the practical implications of this. They said, okay, she is a 13-year-old girl who is in a public school, and she's organizing a protest. Again, the protest halted by her principal. And there's more procedural history behind this. I'm being a little bit more general. If you look at the case, you'll see a lot of back and forth between the principal and the school district and Mary Beth Tinker. And there's some great photographs of Mary Beth Tinker as an adult, again, showing her pictures of her and one of her colleagues in preparing these armbands. And the question was whether or not what she was doing, what Mary Beth Tinker was proposing to do, accomplished what's called a material and substantive interference with the education process by wearing this band? Were you materially and substantively interfering with the process of education? And I think you can probably figure out what the result was, not only because of the general touchstone of Tinker, which is this notion that constitutional rights do in fact still exist. You don't shed them at the schoolhouse gate. The Supreme Court said no, said that the principle cannot prohibit Mary Beth Tinker and others from doing this. Why? Because the wearing of the armbands did not have a material and substantive interfering impact on the educational process. They may have diverted some things a bit. There may have been a little bit of attention called to them. And of course, that's the reason for Mary Beth Tinker doing this in the first place, right? But the question is, again, is in all things, this emerging concept that we need to balance, if you will, the First Amendment rights that she still has with the extent to which it really truly disrupts the educational process. And one of our great Supreme Court justices, his name is Abe Fortas. Abe Fortas, writing for a 7-2 court majority in this case called Tinker, T-I-N-K-E-R, 1969 in Des Moines, explained that the prohibition by the principal, by the school district, against Mary Tinker came from, it was predicated about a fear of disruption among officials, but not any actual interference. He talked about the fact that the school district is anticipating some disruption. In fact, it probably would not take place. No actual interference by virtue of doing this. Now, presumably, there would be some substantive and some material interference if, in fact, there had been other forms of protest. And playing the Supreme Court, again, does this balance and says there may be those circumstances where the school district, the principal, the superintendent, teachers can say, you know what, that kind of conduct is simply too much. We cannot have it. Why? Because it has a substantive impact, a material impact. It interferes in some significant material way in our capacity to do what we are principally here to do, which is to teach, right? But here, the Supreme Court balances that interest, that very legitimate interest in ensuring that education is taking place, with the extent to which this particular use of the First Amendment, wearing an armband, would implicate some disruption, would prompt some disruption. And the Supreme Court, Abe Fortas, 7-2, back in 1969, says, no, you've got to permit her to go ahead and do just those kinds of things. And so Tinker, this major case in the 1960s. At the same time, in the late 1960s and in the late 1980s, there are some cases that suggest that First Amendment right inside schoolhouses is not unconditional. You don't have an absolute right. And again, that's what the Supreme Court has said consistently. We'll talk more about those in the remaining minutes here of our time here today, continuing this discussion once again next Saturday as we chat more about students' rights and parents' rights as well. There is a case called Bethel School District versus Frazier. It happened in 1968, so just about the same time as the Tinker case announces this balancing test. And in these particular cases, the Supreme Court says, the public schools do still have this legitimate interest in, as they said, inculcating values and promoting civic virtues, doing education, doing things that develop students as responsible adults, good citizens in our community. And so in this Bethel case, the high court vested in a great deal of discretion in school officials to decide on specific curricular topics or where students' expression occurs in a school-sponsored setting, such as an assembly. And so in Bethel, the question was whether or not the school district could limit in some ways things happening at a school assembly. And the Supreme Court there said, yes, there can be some limitations on what a school district can do in a school assembly. Again, distinguishing a year later, the school band issue, the bans bands that Mary Tinker was wearing at the time, that this balancing can in fact take place, and if what goes on at a school-sponsored assembly is disruptive, is in some way contrary to these overall educational and civic virtues that we want to promote in public schools, schools can in fact impose some reasonable restrictions on the capacity of students to exercise their First Amendment rights. And so that's a case called Bethel School District versus Frazier, also the late 1960s. And here's the big one that seemingly turns back, if you will, a lot of what we think about when you think about Tinker and what should be the unadorned and unconditional rights of students and the free press and to publish what they want. The Supreme Court once again says yes, you don't abandon all your First Amendment rights, but when it comes to a school newspaper, the administration can, in fact, make some limitations, can impose some restrictions, some conditions on what it is you do, in fact, publish and what it is you choose not to publish when you go ahead. So Hazelwood is the name of that case. Hazelwood School District versus Kuhlmeyer, 1988, a couple of decades after Tinker, after Bethel versus Frazier, cases where the Supreme Court says, yeah, the Supreme Court will in fact permit some school districts, some teachers, some administrators to impose some regulations out there. We're going to chat more about this balancing that goes on between the limits of the Supreme Court's rulings in those cases, the rights of students and certainly teachers and others under the First Amendment, as we explore this area very generally, again anticipating that in not too long a period of time, school districts around the country, right here in Wisconsin, throughout the Midwest, are going to be opening their doors. We're going to continue this discussion next Saturday, July 30th. I invite you very much to join me for the continuation. We have just begun Academics in America. Join me again next Saturday at the Shaw here in Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. On behalf of Connor, my producer this morning, this is Morning Cannolis. My name is Jim Santel. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening in. Join us again next week for Morning Cannolis, the Shaw here in Waukesha.